Julio.
Maria.
Ridiculously, insanely busy news week.
What a surprise with this administration. It's like every day, every week, it's just big news.
It's overwhelming, but...
I know.
You know, we often start our show with a news topper. We've decided this is the most important story that needs to be talked about this week.
Exactly. The most important one.
And it's the story of the detention of Ravi Raghavir.
So 20 people watching me in a gurney, handcuffed in a gurney, waiting for a doctor to come and clear me so I could be detained and I could be deported.
Hey, welcome to In the Thick. This is a podcast about politics, race, and culture from a POC perspective. I'm Maria Hinojosa.
And I'm Julio Ricardo Varela.
And joining us in the studio in Harlem today is Ravi Raghavir. He is the executive director of the New Sanctuary Coalition in New York City and perhaps one of the most prominent immigration rights activists in the United States today. And you'll understand why in a second. Ravi, thank you so much for being here in Harlem with us.
Thank you for having me.
And from her ACLU office in downtown Manhattan, joining us is Donna Lieberman, who is the executive director of the New York City Civil Liberties Union. Donna, great to have you on In the Thick.
It's great to be here. Thanks.
All right. So full disclosure, right before we started, Donna just said to you, Ravi, I'm sending you a virtual hug.
Thank you, Donna. Appreciate it.
I'm thinking about you a lot.
So this is a pretty emotional way to start. But the truth is, Ravi, is that you are facing deportation on Saturday, February 10th. I mean, that's 5 days away. This is Tuesday, February 6th that we're recording this. There is some news regarding your case. Congresswoman Nidia Velázquez from New York introduced a bill on the House floor that basically said it would allow you permanent immigration status. And if you do get deported, it would allow a legal mechanism for you to return. I mean, this is really interesting news given so much that's happened. So just the backstory, on January 11th, you go in for a routine check with ICE. But when you get there, you're immediately put into handcuffs. They start an expedited deportation process on you. No explanation, without informing your wife or your lawyer. And they flew you to the Crone Detention Center in Florida. People will remember hearing this regarding your case.
Immigration advocates and city council members clashed with police officers during a heated protest outside a federal immigration office in Lower Manhattan.
Because the thing is, Ravi, you are a very active member of the immigration community here. You're a community leader. People know you. So let me just get some facts in. OK, Ravi, you're from Trinidad, Tobago.
Correct.
You come here when you are how many years? I mean, it was
27 years ago.
You get your green card.
Correct.
Everything is good until the year 2000 when you are convicted of wire fraud.
Correct.
And then because of the fact that you had this wire fraud conviction, and even though you served your sentence,
right,
so you went through the legal process, as a kind of a result of that, you come out of being incarcerated and you become much more of an immigrant rights activist, right?
Correct.
You've actually been doing these ICE check-ins for several years. You haven't broken any laws. Everything has been above board. Everything has been by the book.
Correct.
And you've increasingly become much more of a public activist and a leader.
Yeah, so it's interesting because, you know, when Ravi was detained then on January 29th, U.S. District Court Judge Catherine Forrest ordered your immediate release, Ravi, stating that your detention, and I'm quoting from the decision, was unnecessarily cruel. And since being released, you've been ordered to be deported this Saturday on the 10th?
Correct, on February 10th.
Your hearing could delay this, right? Is that what I understand?
Correct. I'm scheduled to be deported. There's no question. There's no ambiguity on this. This is what is written on the document.
The judge who released you, who is U.S. District Court Judge Catherine Forrest, she said, quote, the court also notes with grave concern.
Yeah.
The argument that the petitioner has been targeted as a result of his speech and political advocacy on behalf of immigrant rights and social justice. And you have a judge basically saying, hey, I'm just waving a flag to say it looks like we're targeting political activists for deportation.
I think what Judge Forrest did, and trust me, this is not a federal judge who is known for big political grandstanding pronouncements. What her order told the world is, hey, our system is in jeopardy.
So I'm trying to understand, is the legal issue here that these activists are being treated unusually cruel and inhumane by ICE because they're detaining and deporting them with this kind of expediency in order to avoid kind of a public outcry from their supporters?
Ravi's case is pending. He's challenging the deportation. He's challenging the conviction that is the basis for the deportation order. And ICE is moving so fast to get him out of town that what that would do is make the legal remedies that should be available to him unavailable and cause irreparable harm to him and his family and set this horrific example that because you are a loud, proud activist immigrant, we're going after you.
Ravi, can you say specifically how you understand, in terms of what you've seen since your detention, that you believe you are specifically being targeted because of your activism?
So I had to check report in on January 11, but they had surrounded my home to take me away on January 3rd and planning to deport me according to their own records, right? According to the one affidavit, that they had a plane already booked, a ticket already booked to remove me on January 7th. So that's another reason why we know that I was targeted. I didn't sleep. I didn't eat properly. And my blood pressure was 90 over 60, really low. I fainted.
Wow.
When after fainting, they took me to the hospital. And that's another story, how they took me to the hospital. They moved me from Lower Presbyterian Hospital to Bellevue without verifying with my wife, my lawyers, letting them know what was happening, and took me, the FDNY took me to Bellevue Hospital. In fact, ICE was asking them to take me directly to the detention center in the ambulance. Fortunately, FDNY refused to do that. And then at the hospital, they had 10 NYPD, at least 10 ICE officers watching me. The SWAT, the Strategic Emergency Response Team, came in their full body armor.
Really?
Ravi.
Yes.
Wow.
So 20 people watching me in a gurney, handcuffed, right? Handcuffed in a gurney, waiting for a doctor to come and take blood or a doctor to come and clear me, so I could be detained and I could be deported.
Wow.
And then ICE took me, handcuffed me, shackled me, took me into the van. And I'm looking at all the ICE vans that were around me. I would say at least 10 vehicles escorted me alone. I alone was being escorted. And we thought we were going to take me to Essex Processing Center.
In New Jersey.
And they took me straight to the airport. And if you look at the reason why they took me straight to the airport, you will see that the documents for the court were submitted. They want me out before the court could rule that they have to keep me in New York.
Wow.
Donna, is this just the beginning and we just happen to get wind of Ravi's case? Or is this basically like modus operandi for the next 3 years?
This is not just the beginning. I think this has been going on for a while now. And whether we have 3 more years of this, I don't know, because I think the politics of our country are changing.
Right.
And I think Right. that the public has begun to get it, and more people have become woke about the horrors of what's going on.
There are stories. This is not just a New York issue, like you're saying, Donna, it's a national thing. And several nationally prominent immigrant activists
That's
were
right.
detained in recent weeks. So, Ravi, your fellow activist, right, Jean Montreville was recently deported to Haiti, I believe. And then another prominent activist in Washington State, Maru Mora Villalpando, she was threatened with deportation. Then you have activists and immigrants being targeted along border towns.
And also sanctuary cities, right? So they are targeting sanctuary cities. They are targeting everyone who are protecting immigrants who want to see that this change. Why is that? Well, if you look at history, you saw the same thing being manifested in other countries. And you see this as a reason to generate hatred. And if you generate enough hatred, you're able to generate enough manipulation. You can manipulate these people quickly and effectively because when you are filled with hate, you don't have any common sense. You're seeing a country now spending billions of dollars, right, on taking people through the federal process of criminalizing immigration. They want to increase the wall to $25 billion.
So you're basically coming at it from a, hey, fellow U.S. taxpayers, do you really want to be spending what, you know, $40 billion on making sure that people like Ravi get deported?
So Ravi and Donna, when you talk to ICE, ICE will tell you straight up that this is part of the legal purview and they have every right to go and round up whoever they want. So in the case of Ravi, you know, what you're hearing is like, well, you're convicted, even though you serve your time. You were convicted for wire fraud, right?
Right.
Tell us about your conviction and what actually happened.
So I used to work for a mortgage company, Household Finance Corporation, which is a, what you would term a predatory lender. When I started to question their policies, that's when all of this happened. Their interest rate was not simple interest, but it was compound interest, which, you know, at that time was illegal. There were only two of us who were convicted in during the mortgage crisis. Two of us. Myself, and I believe one other person who, you know, who was charged in London or something.
But you didn't have a record before then.
Correct.
And you went ahead and served how much time?
I was under house arrest for 30 months. And then I had to serve another 30 months. And then I was in detention. So I have been not double punished, but triple punished and quadruple punished through this process. Guess what? They say when I was detained, I was not being punished. The detention is not a punishment because it's a civil process. The ripping away from my family is not punishment, and it's a civil process. So even though we are challenging the underlying criminal conviction, there are many, many people who have criminal convictions and are being ripped apart from their family. And it is not about the innocence. It's from anyone. It's about no one should be facing this type of crisis in their lives because of a conviction, especially as they have already served their time and become part of that community. They should be allowed to stay here with their family.
Welcome back to In the Thick. I'm Maria Hinojosa, and with me is my co-host, Julio Ricardo Varela. And we're joined this week by Ravi Ragbir. He's the executive director of the New Sanctuary Coalition of New York City, and Donald Lieberman, who's the executive director of the New York Civil Liberties Union. Let's get back to the conversation.
So, Donna, what are the legal issues that people like Ravi can address or challenge when it comes to what ICE is saying that, sorry, you need to get deported, you're out of here?
There was a change in our immigration law back in 1996 under the Clintons that takes away the discretion of immigration judges to waive the automatic deportation of individuals based on, you know, crimes, including marijuana possession. So what has developed, what has emerged as a kind of workaround for ICE over the years has been this process of, you know, organized supervision. Live a good life, be in your community, do your thing, and you report to us periodically. And people have been doing that for years,
right?
Playing by the rules, doing what they're supposed to. And then all of a sudden, you're going to be deported. There's no equitable argument for what the government is doing here with Ravi, with Jean Montreville, with too many other people.
You know, Donna, you bring up the issue of history. You bring up 96. Maria and I have talked about this not only in 96, but a lot of this targeting of activists happened during the Reagan administration of the 80s sanctuary movement. And, you know, we've seen, you know, Obama, Bush, with the deportations. And I think you start looking at the Trump administration. What is it that you can see that you go, wow, this is so different than what we've ever seen before?
Let me tell you about what's going on in Batavia, New York, where we have been representing a number of individuals who have been detained. All of them are seeking asylum from countries where they are in mortal danger. And starting with the inauguration of this president, they stopped doing bond hearings. Being sent to Batavia meant that you were being held in without bond or parole. And when we found out about this, we went into court and the judge said, wait a second, you can't ignore your processes whereby people are entitled to have parole or bond so that they can be released in the community pending the resolution of their case. So that's an example where the government's own internal protocols are being completely ignored. I could talk about the example of kids who were here who have applications pending for the juvenile, special juvenile process, who have fled, you know, gang violence in Central America, who are suddenly becoming targets of ICE. You know, there are specific examples of dreamers who have been like grabbed up and summarily deported. And not everybody knows or has the connections to find a lawyer. And not everybody's in New York City or someplace else where those resources exist. 90% of the time when you're represented by a lawyer, you have a shot at least. When you're not represented by a lawyer, and sometimes you're a kid who's 5 years old, you know, your chances are slim to none.
This is about psychological warfare to make people so scared and so terrified that they are not going to access the due process. And that is intentional. If you look at what ICE is doing right now, in the past, they would do these raids and they would do things and they would keep it on the down low. Now they are making it very, very public because they want to show that you cannot do anything about it.
Right.
When you take me away, it is about showing, even with a large community, look at Ravi. Ravi, nothing, no one can do anything. In fact, I want to be clear that when I am put on a plane, this fight will continue. So people who are hearing this, who are Latinos, who are undocumented, you need to stand up because every fight that we create, everyone that stands up, is going to make it much more difficult for them to act.
All right, so we're going to move to our final question, which for this show, we're going to go back to one of our favorite but difficult moments, which is a temperature check. So, Donna, you're a longtime civil liberties union in New York. You got a thick skin. You've been around fighting this fight for a while. So not as a lawyer, as a person, what's your emotional temperature check right now? Donna?
This is the pits. I've never felt more worried about our country and angrier. But it strikes a chord. I'm sorry.
No, you don't have to apologize.
You know, I've been a New York reporter for over 25 years, and I don't think I've ever seen you cry. The fact that you are actually like in the year 2018 crying about, you know, immigration, I mean, like, how do you put that together?
It's really hard. It's hard to keep your eyes on the prize. But, you know, I look to Ravi. I look to the courage of others I'm not going to name. I realize that as painful as it is for me to be witness fighting back against this, that pales by comparison to the personal toll that this is taking. You know, we don't have a choice here. You know, it's about Ravi. You know, it's about Jean. It's about everybody who's directly in the crosshairs. And it's about our kids. It's about our futures. The threat to our country is an existential one. The threat to our democracy is an existential one. And we've just got to win it. That's all. We just got to win it and hang on and fight back and not be intimidated.
Ravi, what are your thoughts?
I have no emotions to emote here because I've had to keep it really locked up tightly. Otherwise, you know, the impact it will have is to debilitate me, and I'm not going to be a victim. I am victimized. We have seen this, but I'm not going to be a victim. The judge has recognized the direction of the country, and that her statement is that that third branch, which is the check and balance of each of the branches, needs to step up. And part of the warfare they have waged for January 11th when they send a message, you are not going to have elected officials accompany you. You are not going to have your pastors accompany you. And you saw the violence because they came in there with the intent to end that support that I had. One of the cases that are going to be filed on my behalf and Maru's behalf is about the First Amendment, right? The violation of the First Amendment for us to speak up. Even though they will find valid cause to stop the ICE, it still doesn't stop my deportation. It still doesn't stop Maru's process because there will be so much violation, but yet the law is so stacked against us that we don't even have the right to speak up. That's what they want to do. They want to send us away so that they can do this without being looked at, without having the witnesses who have followed us and who are part of our community. A temperature check for me is the mobilization of the community. I am going to go in on Saturday. They've said they're going to deport me. I am going to report in, but I'm not coming alone.
Ravi Raghbir, you're the executive director of the New Sanctuary Coalition from New York City. Donna Lieberman, you're the executive director of the New York Civil Liberties Union. Thank you both for joining us in this very kind of sad and sobering moment in our country. But we're glad that you were able to join us to talk about this on In the Thick.
We are in the thick of it.
We are in the thick of it.
And thank you, guys.
Thank you.
I'm Maria Hinojosa.
And I'm Julio Ricardo Varela.
And remember, go to Apple Podcasts to rate and review us. This really matters, especially on a show like now, like today. We need you to rate and review us because you know how important this is and you know you want other people to listen. So that helps. Also, follow us on Twitter and on Instagram at In the Thick Show. You can like us on Facebook. And yeah, tell your friends and family to listen because that's how people find new podcasts. Our producer is Stephanie LeBeau. Our intern is Nicole Rothwell. Our theme music is Comencemos by Jungle Fire. The music that you heard is courtesy of Nacional Kept, ZZK Records, and Noam Hassenfeld. We'll see you next time on In the Thick. Thank you so much for listening. Ciao.
Nos vemos.